Right. We will leave family, and of course, we leave family. There's a beginning, and hopefully everyone, whatever that has been said over the last few weeks and months with regards to the family, will take it seriously, okay? This is your day in, day out situation. You have to learn what God says so that your family can be strong for the glory of God, okay? Moving forwards, from July onwards, just a few weeks and months, we'll be looking at the book of James, okay? Systematically, you will say, oh no, we just did the book of James. Well, okay, if you can remember everything, then okay, I will not encourage you to not come to church, but it will be a revision. But I want to focus on key thoughts, all right? Book of James is a practical book. We want to look at it from a very practical perspective, okay? For the next few weeks and months, we'll be looking at practical faith. We want to look at it expressed practically, all right? So let's stand as we look at James chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Okay, James 1 to 4, as we also explore the whole topic of biblical handling of the trials of life. James chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. James chapter 1, verse 1 to number 4. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, until we finish at verse number 4. James chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible reads for us. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience together in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are in our midst to teach us your word through the Holy Spirit. We thank you that your precious word is not just written for our casual reading, but for our serious obedience. And Lord, as we face the issues of life, as we face the different aspects of life, you have given us instruction how to face these things practically from a heavenly perspective. I pray today you help us to understand this heavenly perspective so that the heavenly perspective can become a practical faith in real life. We'll ask you to grant us the wisdom to grasp your truth and then the courage to obey you in our situations. Bless the chapel upstairs. Pray that every child will be instructed also in the Word of God, that they themselves will grow. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. I'll just give you a little bit of introduction to the book of James. Okay, book of James, a very practical book. It's oftentimes known as the Proverbs of the New Testament. Okay, James gives like a little rabbi. He gives you little pithy proverbs about certain areas of life. You find that James handles different areas of trials. He handles obedience to God's word. He handles what is real religion, what is real Christianity. He also handles what does faith mean? Faith without works is dead. He also handles the important topic of the tongue. All right, and also he talks about what is wisdom, heavenly wisdom, earthly wisdom, and then he also talks about how we need to conduct our lives in view of the future. What kind of attitudes we need to take if we are being oppressed by our masters? What kind of attitudes we need to take when we are sick? What we need to do in prayer, etc. Okay, so James is a very practical book. But today we want to look at this whole topic of trials, okay? I know it's oftentimes we face trials, but trials are a reality of life. Now, as I was thinking on this, I realized also, I think all of us do, everyone goes through trials in their lives. It's a commonplace happening that there will be difficulties and trials in our life as we go through this life. Interesting point. Whether you are a Christian or not, you will go through trials. The Bible says, Job chapter 5, verse 7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. In other words, just as sure as every time you have a spark, it flies upwards, man is born unto trouble. Job chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. That is God's. Job actually, known Job is one man who went through a lot of trials. But he was just expressing a truth of life. All of us will go through the difficult things in life. Okay? The book of James tells us there are different types of trials because the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Different types of temptations. There are two main types of temptations that as Christians we need to know. Number one, the temptation to sin. Temptation to sin. Okay? Only Satan does that. Only self does that. It comes from the devil, it comes from Satan. These temptations, example of covetousness and pride, comes from Satan. Okay? Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, you can refer to the verse there. When the tempter came to him, when this devil came to Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Satan came to Christ to tempt him. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. Which is interesting, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter has tempted you, and our labor be in vain. This is an interesting principle. Perhaps I just have an aside for all of us who are Christians who seek to help others. Paul was concerned about the Thessalonian church. He was concerned because he hasn't seen them for some time. He was concerned because for the time that he hasn't seen them, he was concerned what the devil may come in and stumble their faith. So what did he do? He sent people to try to find out about that particular person, all right, the particular church. Praise God, Thessalonian church was standing fast in victory and Paul was so excited. But you know what Paul's heart was? He was concerned because he knew there was a tempter that's going to come. And he's going to tempt the Christians and the younger ones. You know, as parents, we need to watch out for our children to be aware of their spiritual condition, not just their academics, not just their social, not just their physical health. But sometimes we need to know, in fact, not all the time, we need to be aware of where their spiritual attitudes lie. You know, sometimes youth, as they grow up, they have no heart for the work of God or the Word of God. And as parents from young, we need to be cultivating that, okay? Because why the tempter will come? Temptation to sin. And if you see your child or your friend going down the way of the world, of sin, of bad attitudes, you know that something is happening in that life. And parents, you need to get together and pray with all your hearts for your children, okay? So the tempter, tempting to sin, but there's another type of temptation. Now let me just finish this. Sin is never tempted by God, but by the devil himself, and sometimes we tempt ourselves. Okay, the second type of trials is the type of trials that make us stronger. Amen? It is a test to make us stronger. It's a test designed to see what kind of character we are. It's a test to see what kind of strength we have. It's a type of test to see how much we can take. This can be a test by God. And God uses this kind of test to show our strength and our dependency on Him. And this is a very important test because I can guarantee you, all of us as Christians, if you are a Christian, you will go through the test. After I explain to you why. All right? It's very interesting. For Christians, the trials that we face have another level for believers. All of us, Christians or not Christians, you will have trials. We all agree on that, right? Okay, a non-believer can have cancer, a believer also have cancer. A non-believer can lose his job, a believer also can lose his job. We all have trials, we're all the same. But for believers, it's on another level. You know why? Because trials come as a trial of your faith. It tries what you believe. All of us live by assumptions. All of us. As a non-believer, you assume you can handle it, and so when the trials come, no problems, I can handle it. I know what to do, my bank account is full, I got the skills necessary. You fire me, I can find another job. The assumption is self, I can handle it. For a Christian, many times the assumption is, where is God in my trials? You start to say, well, how come all this? God? I thought God was supposed to take care of me. Assumptions that we make. The trials not only challenges our life, as a Christian, it also challenges our faith. Notice in the book of Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, I believe it's printed there. Let me just read. This is a very interesting, I would say, situation. The Lord Jesus Christ in the analysis of Peter's denial, tells Peter why it is happening. Okay? In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, referring to Peter, which is the other name, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. It is Satan's desire to have Satan to remove Peter from the service of Christ. Verse 32, but I've prayed for thee that your faith fail not. Your faith fail not. In every trial, guess what is the devil targeting? He's targeting your faith. That's why sometimes in the difficult times, I don't want to go to church anymore. Why? My assumption is that God must always give me the good things. And therefore, when bad things happen, God's not in charge. Right? The assumptions we make. In James chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, knowing that the trying of your faith. As Christians, we are all in the same boat. Because we are Christians, whenever there's trials in our lives, the first thing that always sometimes go is our service for God. It's our Bible reading time. It's our prayer time. It's our, oh, exam come. I cannot go this activity. I cannot do that. Why? Because it's a trying of your faith. Okay? Some Christians fear and ask why that I'm a Christian. I have all these difficulties and trials in our lives. May I remind us that these trials are common and to be expected in a Christian's life. Is common. In Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. The verse for today's article, Paul confirming the souls of the disciples and exalting them to continue in the faith. Now this particular, I'll urge you to read the article. It's very interesting. Because the Apostle Paul, in writing Acts chapter 14, verse 22, he was confirming the souls of the disciples. He was exhorting them to continue in the faith. And he was saying that that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. What was he saying? If you read the context, Paul was just, before he wrote Acts 14:22, he was just being stoned and left for dead. Okay? Do you know what the people do when they stone you? Some of you may have seen some of the videos of what the ISIS people do to the people today. All right, they will bury, very wicked and barbaric, they will bury the person in sand and then head out, they will throw huge stones. In the past, when they stone someone to death, they will dig a hole, put the person inside, and find biggest pieces of stone they can find and drop it on the person until he is dead. Paul went through that. Okay, it is believed that God raised him from the dead at that point because his job is not done yet. Okay, usually what they will do is at the last time when the person is just about dying, they will find the biggest piece of rock and drop it on his head to kill him, to finish him off. That was how they stoned the people to death. It is believed in Acts chapter 14 that God raised him from the dead. It's not said there, but many people believe that. Can you imagine Paul then staggers into Iconium and Syria and says, you must continue in the faith. This guy has just been nearly died. But you know, the faith of Paul wasn't affected by even his near-death situation. That he would say, look, continue in the faith. That we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened. Some Christians think that difficulties in their life is a strange thing. No, it's not. Peter says, why are you considering it strange? James was writing to a group of believers who were being scattered from their homeland. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. Imagine us in Singapore being kicked out of our country by a foreign invader. How would you feel? Some of our Filipino brethren, when they come to Singapore because you work, you know why they always, you know when you go to different countries or the different groups of nationalities, or rather if you are a Singaporean in maybe in the Philippines, you find all the Singaporeans come together, right? You go to China, all the Singaporeans will come together, all the Chinese come in Singapore, all the Chinese people come together. And why? Because, like it or not, you feel displaced. You have no stability. Can you imagine the Jews
They were not scattered because of career. They were scattered because they were running for their lives. The persecution was killing them, many of them. James, as a pastor, writes to encourage them. Can I? In times of our trials, aren't you glad someone cares? It doesn't matter whether you receive it or not, but the reality is, aren't you glad that even when you don't care that people care, people still care? In the times of the dispersion, the diaspora, you read in theological terms, when the Jews were being scattered abroad, the pastor wrote to the 12 tribes to encourage them. That's what James wanted to do here. In the study of James, I will maybe highlighting, all right, key verbs. What are verbs? Action words that as Christians we can take for our practical lives, okay? How do we meet trials in our lives? What should we do? Let's take the counsel of James. Point number one, look at verse 2. My brethren, remember the Jewish believers were scattered, they were going through persecution and trials. The first thing James said, my brethren. You know what my brethren means? I've got a relationship with you. My brethren, my beloved brethren. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The first verb we need to remember in facing trials is this. We need to count our trials a joy. Say what? I'm going through a hard time. You ask me to count it a joy? If you read the scriptures, Acts 5:41, I'll just read there. The Bible says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. In Matthew 5:11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Jesus, in his preaching for Christians, as you go through the difficult times, you know what? He says, rejoice. Be glad. Be glad because something is happening that you may not understand, but rejoice because God has a bigger plan for you. We are to count it a joy when we go through the trials of life. The word count means to consider it carefully and make a conclusion about it. I say again, the word count it a joy means to consider it carefully and make a conclusion about the trial. When meeting trials, we have to have this mind frame to rejoice that we are going through this trial. In other words, whatever you go through, it could be a sickness, it could be a pain in your life, it could be a physical problem. To actually consider it a joy. The word joy, interestingly, you know what it means? Esther Joy, you know what does joy mean? The word joy in the Greek means calm gladness. Calm gladness. Well, that's difficult because when you're going through a trial, you can't be calm. But you know what? James said, consider it a calm gladness. A believer looking at a trial will be at peace and will be glad. Why? Because he knows God's in charge. That's why you can consider it a joy. Many people in going through trials go through it with a heavy heart. They panic. They become anxious. There was this author. I don't know the author. Maybe some of you readers may know. His name is, how to pronounce it? Leo Bascaglia. You know that author? You're a reader? Okay, don't know. I don't know. So, this particular author told a story about his mother and their misery dinner one night. They had a misery dinner. And the misery dinner, the background was this. The night this author remembered his father came back and was telling everyone that he was going to become bankrupt. Because in his business with another partner, the partner took all the money and ran away. And he was going to be sued and he was going to be bankrupt. You know what the mother did? The mother took the jewelry of the family, went to sell the jewelry of the family, and bought some food for the family. Okay, and they had a sumptuous feast that day. You know, dad comes in and I'm going to lose my job. Mom goes out and buy food, sells the jewelry, buy food. You know, all the family. What are you doing, you guys? She said to them, "The time for joy is now.
when we need it most, not next week. Her courage of facing the trial brought the family together. You know, sometimes we don't have to figure out why. We just have to enjoy what God has given us to us at that time. We just thank God for what we have. We thank God. And to be joyful, say, God, we've got this moment. We thank you for the things we have. Yeah, I'm going through a trial, but thank God. God wants us to consider it a joy when we go through trials. That's the first thing. But you know, Brother Johnny, it's very hard. Because humanly, we always need to know the reason, right? That's why James gave you a reason. Point number two. Number one, we need to count it a joy. That's your verb you need to remember. Number two, notice secondly, God wants us to see what? Comprehend trial's purpose. God wants us to understand what is trial's purpose. In verse number three, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Okay, very simple, we all know it. The word know means to comprehend, to understand, to be aware of. I'll just stop right there. Do you realize that the trials you go through, is that God trying your faith, testing your faith? The reason why that's important, because many Christians, when they go through the trials, why must I go through this? You know, they complain about the trial, not realizing the purpose of the trial. And so many Christians become complaining, they grumble, they see things in a different light, simply because they are not aware that as a believer, God does try us. Okay? Two purposes of trial. Number one, the purpose of a trial is to test your faith. That's very clear from the scripture. The trying of your faith is to test your faith. The purpose of each trial is to test our faith, to upgrade it so that God can promote it. I say again, the purpose of every trial in your life is so that God can upgrade your faith and promote your faith. So that we can grow. Okay? When we go through the trial, oftentimes our focus is on the trial and how to solve it, right? Maybe sometimes it's important for us to go through the trial and think, what is God doing about the trial? I was just thinking, how do we illustrate this? There was one, just think about it. If I ask Adam, okay, you don't have to come. Adam, if I ask you to carry a 20 kilogram, not 20 kilogram weight, and then ask you to do, would you enjoy doing it? Why? It's heavy, right? Yeah. What else? If I ask you to do every day, 5 times a day, very tiring. Right? Then what else? 5 times a day, every time you must do 20 minutes. So 5 times 20, every day you have to do. I've got no time for my friends. I cannot go and play. I cannot do my homework. Or I cannot sleep. What are you asking me to do? What if I tell you I was preparing you for the fight against Manny Pacquiao? Know who's Pacquiao? Don't know, maybe you can speak to your friends. No, he's one of the very famous Filipino boxers, and he's huge. But what if I told you I was preparing you to fight him, and I've told your mom and dad to buy beef for you every day? And that, do you realize, if I'm not wrong, Manny Pacquiao was what, the second highest earner in the world? What if I say you get another $150 million if you beat him? How's that? Don't know. Okay, never mind. You pray about it. Talk it over with your parents. You know, sometimes when we go through the training, we find also. But when God says, hey, I have a purpose for you to make you great, to make you useful, we always focus on the to do that. Well, do run. I'm a PE teacher, right? A PE teacher, run 2 rounds. You know, I always remember this, the evangelist was telling this how in the NBA, in the American basketball scene, what they do, they will train 2 hours in the court, they will throw baskets and things like that, do their set footwork. And after the whole training, when they thought they were going to the showers, the boss said, all right, guys, let's run. And they will run around the, NBA court, they don't just run around the court, they run the perimeter of the indoor stadium, and those guys will run and run. For about 10 minutes, they run and run. After the whole training, like, oh, I'm tired. And then after that, the coach will blow, and then all of them come down, and they were supposed to take trophy throws. And then after they throw, all the balls would just miss, or, air ball. And Just miss it. And then I was like, what am I doing this for? We are so tired. We're already trained. Why are we wasting this time? And then the evangelist was very, he said, the coach knows that when you reach the fourth quarter, there's 5 seconds left and you're on the free throw line and your hands are so tired, but you must, and your teams are tied, you must make the free throws. At the end of the whole training, the coach pushed you just that bit further for the purpose of winning the game. You know, sometimes God pushes us so that we can win the game in our lives. The trying of your faith. God has a purpose for that. Sometimes we don't see that purpose. Sometimes we panic. Maybe I'm retrenched and lose my job. We panic because we are afraid, because we have no income, we have no avenue of support. But God wants us to stop there and know that the trial was sent to test our faith. This will be interesting for the Filipinos. All sorts of things are tested to prove they are genuine. Say again. The reason why you go through trials is to God wanted to see whether your faith is genuine or you're just playing games. Okay? And so he gave an example. When you go to a bank, you give a $20 note to the cashier, she will hold it to a special light. Why would she do that? Because she wants to make sure the dollar note is genuine. She put it to the test. During the time, okay, listen up, when the Philippines was not using a special light to determine whether the dollar bills were genuine, the bank tellers would just hold the dollars close to the light and then examine the pictures that were in the dollar bills. So this particular man was very curious and he said, what are you doing? How do you know by looking at the dollar bill that it is genuine? He told me that if the hair of the picture of the man on the dollar is not combed properly, the dollar is fake. So those people were trained to look at how nice the person on the dollar bill combed his hair. And if it's not combed properly, the dollar bill was probably fake because it's probably someone trying to imitate or counterfeit it. I don't know whether they still do it now. We expect everything that has value to be tested. What is more important than your faith in this world? I can assure you nothing more important than the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ in your hearts. And you can expect it to be tested to see whether it's real. It's real. The faith that is not tested is the faith that cannot be trusted. Say again. The faith that is not tested is the faith that cannot be trusted. You will trust someone who has gone through the grind. When someone comes to you, maybe he's a soldier and he's been through like 6 wars, maybe in the Gulf, in the whatever, Afghanistan, whatever, and he comes to lecture, everyone will listen. There was one time we stood and we were listening. How many of you remember the Entebbe raid, 1975, I believe, when the Israeli commandos went in to save I had the blessing of being in the presence of the general who was in charge of the intelligence. You know, all of us were like listening to him. Why? Because he has gone through the war. He knows what it's like. And we were asking all the practical questions. He would tell us, you are so silly. You know, this and this and this will happen. Why? Because he's gone through it. God, the faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. That's why God wants us as believers to realize it's the testing of our faith. That's the first thing. Number two, notice what? The trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience. The Greek word patience means the final accomplishment. The final thing, the final product. The goal of each trial is to develop the patience in our lives. God wants to develop the quality of endurance and patience in our lives as Christians. God's gifts come very slowly sometimes. We could not use them if they did. Many a man called to God of God to do a work is convinced that God will bring efforts to his success, You know, sometimes we work, we say God's going to bring us the outcomes. But nevertheless, such a confident worker can grow discouraged at times and worries because results do not come as they would. But growth and strength in waiting are the results, often greater than the end, so impatiently longed for. What is this phrase talking about? When you go through the trials, we are looking for the outcome, and when we are going a long way and we get discouraged, we fail to recognize God is actually developing the strength and the patience to go through that trial. Does it make sense? And after time, we always look, oh, how come I get no results? How come? But we fail to recognize that in the process, maybe of Adam doing this, say, ah, oh, I will never beat Manny, I will never beat Pacquiao, but his muscles is from like that to like that to like that to like that already. And you see, like, Adam come in and, oh, you, I'm not going to beat Manny Pacquiao. Yeah, you see, or look at his body. And we laugh at that because we know. You know what? Success is in God's hands, amen? God can bring the outcome anytime. Why doesn't He? Because He wants to develop the quality of perseverance and patience in a Christian's life. If a non-believer goes through a trial and gives up, and a Christian goes through a trial and gives up, what is the difference? But if a non-believer goes through a trial and gives up, but a Christian goes through and presses on and prays and with faith, still kind, you know what? It's very attractive to a non-believer, amen? And perhaps through that, someone can come to Christ. Share the example of our sister Mary. I think the husband passed away last year. He's a preacher of the gospel. And even at times when the husband was doing his chemotherapy, Sister Mary was busy winning nurses to the Lord. She won one or two nurses to Jesus Christ while she was busy helping the husband when the husband was going through chemotherapy. Of course, he passed away later. Develop our patience. I like what this author said. God wants to see results as we work for Him. But God's first concern is our growth. That's why He often withholds success until we've learned patience. Did you get that? God is interested in the outcomes. But oftentimes, God may see fit in His wisdom to say, I'm not going to give you success until I see you developing some patience in your life. And when your spirit is calm and your spirit is glad as you're going through the trials, and you say, Lord, I know you're in charge. I don't know the reason for this. But God, I know your will is to, you want to change me. And God, I'm willing to allow you to. When all those attitudes are in place, we can be sure the success will come. Because sometimes God just wants to say, hey, the Bible tells us in the first book of Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, I've sowed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Yes? God can give increase anytime because He's God. But oftentimes God wants to see the development of character in His believers, in His children. Fathers and mothers, don't you want to see your children develop in character? That they are stronger, they are more perseverant, they are more willing. If they face a maths question they don't want to answer, and don't worry, Mama, I will try my best. And maybe you spend half an hour and just keep trying. Yeah, I got the answer. Well, you know, you're happy for the fact that you got the answer, but you're happier, I believe, that your son was willing to persevere to get the answer. Does that make sense? God wants that to happen. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. I just want to highlight this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul talks about this. I'll just read Colossians 10, verse 1, 10 to 12. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing the knowledge of God. That's God's will. We will walk worthy of God, being fruitful in every work, increasing the knowledge of God. By the way, this is God's will. If you're walking worthy of God, you'll be fruitful in every good work. You'll not be in good work only, you'll be fruitful in the good work. That's what Paul is praying for the Colossian church. Increasing in the knowledge of God, you're understanding more and more. You may not understand as fast as another person, but that's okay. You are increasing on a weekly, daily basis in God. Okay? And then, strengthen with all might. Notice the strengthen with all might according to God's glorious power unto all patience. Unto all patience. You know what God is trying to accomplish in our life, Christian, based on what Paul is saying? As you are serving God and you're going through the trials, you're going through this period of time, it's not easy. Paul says in verse 11, as you're going through and you're humbling, submitting to God is strengthening you with His might, based on verse 11, according to His power. If you go through your trials in your power, many of us cannot last. But when we go through it with God's power, it's a different story. Does it make sense? And so in verse 11, God says, I'm strengthened with the might of God, according to God's power, unto, for the goal, for the purpose of what? Patience. For the goal of patience. It could be that you are very impatient now, but maybe about 1 or 6 months or a year later, when you've gone through a trials, people look at you, hey, wow, you don't get angry so easily. Oh no, God is changing me. I'm less impatient. I'm willing to wait. You know what? God is changing us. Amen? I'm thankful many of us, we can see that. But you know what? God has a spiritual purpose in that. Of course, there are three. I just want to focus on this fact that when you go through the trials, God is strengthening you from inside to develop that perseverance. There was a little girl who was walking in the garden. And then he saw a very nice flower. Okay? And then in this nice flower, he said, I don't like that flower there. Because, you know, when the flower is in the mud, it's mud. So she actually plucked out the flower from the ground, washed it, because she felt that the mud will make the flower very dirty, no good, not nice already. The guy said, what are you doing? Like in Singapore, you're not supposed to pluck all this. You're not supposed to pluck. What are you doing? Why you pluck the flower out? That's my most beautiful flower. And then the little girl say, I don't like it there because the mud is on the grass and it doesn't make it nice. We laugh at that. You know, often we complain because of the circumstances into which God has sovereignly placed us in. We fail to realize that God is using our pressures, our trials, and our difficulties to bring us to a new degree of spiritual perseverance and patience and beauty. And sometimes it is not in a vase that God needs to put us in. It's for decoration of it. But God puts us in the field where there's mud and there's rain, that people stepping on, so that over time, God can bring out the quality of character in our lives. Why do we go through trials? To develop our patience. Finally, first one is to what? What's the first C? It's to count it a joy. Number two, the second one is to? Sorry? Comprehend, understand the purpose, trials purpose. And number three, let the trials complete the course. Kind of like antibiotics, you need to complete the course. In James chapter 4, 1 verse 4 says, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience, let endurance, let what God is doing in your life have a perfect, the perfecting work. When you bake bread, how long do you take to bake bread? Half an hour, 45 minutes? If you use those electric bread makers, it may take about 4 hours. Okay. Do you think, let's say it takes 4 hours to bake bread, and then after you take it 2 hours, can you eat it? No. Just... it requires that time. You know what, Christians? Many of us are very impatient to get our trials. God, get me out of this! You know, God, I cannot take it anymore! But God says, it's good for you! Let it complete its course. And that's when I cannot. But actually, if you keep trying, you can. There was one time I was running with some of the recruits, and I was just beside them, and one person was one person said, sir, permission to fall off. I said, you better complete the course. It's just 10 meters in front. Just finish it, come on. You fall out halfway. You know why? God wants us to learn to let trials complete the course. Many Christians want out. God says, stay in. Because God wants us to go through the grind in order to build us up. In order to build us up. Let the process of working patience in our life attain its fullest work. You know there's an alternative to that. You know what's the alternative? What's the alternative to pressing on? What's the alternative? Give up. How many of you usually choose the first one? Or how many of you usually choose number two? You know, God wants us to always choose number one, amen? Why? Because it develops character. It makes us into the type of person that when God sees, He's pleased. That when the world sees, they are encouraged. And when our family sees, they can also grow and say, if dad and mom can press on, so can I. And children, once again, on behalf of parents, they're not perfect. We need to pray for them, but if mom and dad is pressing on, you need to too. You need to learn to give up things in your life that will help you to grow towards the person you need to be. Notice three things about completing the course. Number one, trials have a time frame. Let patience have a perfect work. Everything has a time frame. God will not allow you to go through trials to the point you cannot take it. There is a time frame. Okay? There's always a time frame. All trials have a time frame. Revelation 2:10, I'll just read that. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Jesus encouraged the church during that time was going through trials. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. It's interesting that God put 10 days. Many commentators believe 10 days means literally 10 days. Another commentator believes that the 10 days is a period of time. Both ways, trials have a time frame. It's not going to last forever. We want to put a time frame to it. God, I only give you 1 week, huh? After that, I don't want to do already. Right? God, I can only go through so much. 10 days, that's it. God says, no, you need 70 days. You see, when we go through the trials, when we have a submissive heart of going through the trials, we don't tell God how many days. We just say, God, you do what you need. I'm willing to go through that for you. Because God knows that it takes 70 days to build up your character. And God says, if you give up halfway, you're not going to do anything. You just wasted that trial. Let the trial complete the course, Christian. If you're going through a trial right now, and you find it hard, let it go through the course. Allow God to do what He wants to do in your heart so that you can be perfect. Number two, notice trials can be tough. Why are trials sometimes tough? You know why trials are tough? How many of you enjoy trials? I'm not going to use running because so you need to say, no worry, I can run 20 kilometers. I'm not used to that. Okay? But some people, why is sometimes so hard to go through trials? No, just reading. Now the same question can be asked, why some metals require very high heat to melt? Why are trials tough? Same questions can be asked, why do some metals need very high heat to melt? Are there a lot of engineers here, right? Why do we need high heat to melt certain things? It's because in metals, they're very, very strong. I'm not going to go into I know there are teachers here. But some metals require very high heat to melt because embedded with the metals, they have some very, very strong intermetallic bonds within the metals that require very high temperature to separate. Is it possible, therefore, God sees that there are certain attitudes that require Him to melt away only with very high heat in our lives. That within our hearts, there are certain things that are so strong that we refuse to give up. That God says, look, the only thing that's going to work is if I set the temperature very high. Painful, isn't it? When I think about that, it's like, Lord, is that true? That's in nature. And God uses sometimes nature to help us understand His workings in our lives. Perhaps I'm a very proud man. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar was a proud man. You know, all this kingdom is mine, you know. And God says, I'm sorry, it's not you. I'm in charge. And God dealt with him. Daniel chapter 5. When God deposed him from the throne and made him an animal 7 years until he came to his senses, God is the one who put me there, not me myself. Is it possible sometimes the trials are tough for us because God needs to get out some very, very strong intermetallic bonds within us that can only separate at very high heat? Is it possible in our lives that God is doing that? I want you to notice the outcome. Okay, firstly, like trials have a time frame. Sometimes they are tough. I want you to notice the outcome of trials. Look at verse number 4. That he may be perfect. The word perfect means you may be mature. I want us to look at the end goal. At the end of you being smelted, melted in the high heat, the first thing you'll be mature. People can look up to you because you've been through it. And when you give counsel, they will listen to you. Why? Because you've gone through it. Many teachers have the blessing of doing that. Teachers have gone through the course, they learn, and when they instruct their students, look, I've done that, this is what you need to do. And the students say, yes, ma'am, sir, or whatever, you've done that, I'll listen to you. You are mature. That's what God says. God wants us to be mature. Christians, we cannot stay in one state for the rest of your life as a Christian. If your service is the same, day in, day out, year in, year out, you are not maturing. But God wants, and get this, if we don't get moving, God's going to turn up the heat. If you're a genuine child of God, God's not going to let you stay where you are. He's going to turn up the heat. Do you realize in the early church, when they grew to a size in Acts chapter 6, about 50,000 to 100,000 members, they were getting comfortable. Guess what happened in Acts chapter 7? Persecution came. And they were scattered. But the Bible says, Acts chapter 8 verse 4, they were scattered everywhere when preaching the gospel everywhere too. Because it was God's will for them not to keep the gospel in Jerusalem, but to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of them. God had to use persecution to do that. Is that possible? If you're very comfortable in a Christian life, God is turning, God, I mean, just turn up the heat. All right? And in the Jewish people, you know, God had to judge them because of their disobedience to the fact that Jesus came and they rejected him. There's a time frame. God wants us to be mature. Number two, so that we may be perfect and entire. The word entire has the idea of being complete. That in life, you know, there's some Christians, when you look, maybe a brother Soul and brother Cloud, you look at them. Number one, they're spiritually mature. Thank God for that. Amen? But you know, you kind of look at them and say, what can I... Sometimes it's very frustrating. I said, is there something that we can help you with? I said, no, just pray for me. It's like, come on, we want to be a blessing to you. And I realize they are perfect and complete because their dependency is on God. They have learned to trust God. Of course, we can still bless them. And then the third point, wanting nothing, that will be not, we won't be lacking anything spiritual. Trouble does come to the Christian. Sometimes it's because of our own foolishness or lack of wisdom. However, God sometimes allows the trials to come to develop spiritual maturity and perseverance in our lives. As we close, I want to talk about goal. How many of you love gold? They say gold is a girl's best friend, is that? Or these diamonds? Diamonds are okay. Okay, you know better than me. I'm not a girl. Well, let's talk about gold, okay? Well, when I read gold, it's such an encouraging thing. Gold is an excellent conductor of electricity, yes? Gold is an excellent conductor of electricity. Perhaps it reflects the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Do you know what gold's melting point? 1,945 Fahrenheit, degrees Fahrenheit. Brother Johnny, that's, you are old. What's metric? The melting point of gold is 1,062 degrees Celsius. What's the boiling point of water? Those PSLE? Wait, boiling point of water, how many? PSLE only. How many? How many? Where's Joseph in? 100, right? Okay, 100. The melting point of gold is 1,062 degrees Celsius. Gold is highly resilient. Gold cannot rust or affected by ordinary acids as other metals. No, it reflects that character remains in gold. Gold is a very soft metal though. In the hardness scale, barely scale of 10, the softness of gold is only 2.3, which is one of the factors giving gold its tremendous malleability. You can be pounded, you can be twisted into all different kind of shapes, listen carefully, without breaking apart. Gold is extremely ductile, meaning that it can be drawn out into a wire or tread like forms without becoming brittle or break. When I read this, it's very interesting. Apparently, you can take 28 grams of gold, 28 grams of gold, you can join up to 35 or 50 kilometers. Just 28 grams of gold can be squeezed and made into thread that can extend up to 50 kilometers without breaking. Oh, I'm not a scientist, so what? That really, that would make the thread very thin, but that's exactly what is needed in the electronics industry, yes? Yeah. Okay, when entire circuits are being placed in chips the size of a pinhead, because of its high electrical conductivity, its extraordinary resistance to deterioration, that's why gold is in great demand in the industry. Of course, they may find other replacements. So it's not uncommon to find gold used in many of today's everyday electronics devices. You know what? I reflected on that. It helps us to understand what it means to be available and usable by God in all kinds of situations. Gold as a yellow metal can be pounded so thin that it becomes translucent. Well, this is what? It can become translucent, that means you can see through and still remain intact as a solid sheet of gold. That's the quality of gold. Thin sheets of gold such as this have the distinctive quality of allowing sunlight to pass through, yet they reflect the infrared rays that will harm you. Okay? The goal of our faith lets the rays of the lessons of life come into our hearts to help us grow while protecting us from the sins of this world. God is also common, gold is also commonly used by dentists. How many of you have gold teeth? Last time I was asking some of the Chinese folks and say, last time they believe that you when you replace it with gold teeth, it's because you want to keep it so that you don't have money, you can pluck it out and sell, right? Now, I understand it was not the reason. I can't remember what they told me, but it's not the reason anyway. But it can be used by dentists, okay? And it's used widely to make jewelry. It can be used by God to repair the faith of others or to help another person be encouraged and look good. Gold is not the most valuable metal, but it's extremely valuable and probably the most sought after of all the valuable metals on earth. A 16-centimeter cube of pure gold can be worth $7,000. So gold is very valuable. It does not take very much of it to accumulate, so they have a lot of wealth. No wonder Job said in Job 23, verse 10, "He knoweth the way that I take, that when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My character will be resilient. The Holy Spirit will work in my life. When I go through the tough time, my character will remain, because gold doesn't rust. It doesn't break. It's usable in any shape or form because it's easily malleable without losing its character. Gold is available, and we become gold, become usable, used by God, availability to be used by God. God can use us as gold to repair the faith of others, amen? To bring the lost back, to help a Christian that's walked away, backslided, to come back to God. God can use us as that gold. So to repair the faith of other people. No wonder God wants us to be put through the trials, because He wants us to be useful. As we close, may God help us as we go through the trials to remember the three C's: count it the joy, comprehend the purpose, and let trials complete the work. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you help all of us understand why you put us through the trials. Heavenly Father, we know that many times, sometimes there may be very strong bonds in our hearts that needs only the high heat to melt. Heavenly Father, we pray humbly as we come to you. Father, not just to allow our own self to come in the way, what we think, what we want. Help us to allow you to turn up the heat if need be. Because, Father, you are very wise in the temperature we need so that we can be melted into the type of person you want us to be. Lord, even as we reflect in the book of James, how the Jewish Christians were scattered because of the trials in their lives. And you, through the Apostle James, encouraged them to count it a joy because God's in charge, to comprehend the purpose of trials because God has the purpose of developing our faith and developing the character of perseverance in our lives. And also, Lord, you want us to allow you to complete that course in our life. With eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, I just want to ask as pastor, would you let me pray for you? If in your heart, God is doing something in your life and say, Pastor Johnny, I've never really looked at my trials in that light. Now I realize God actually has a purpose. He's not just asking me to do heavy weights, but He's training me for something very important. God wants to change me, develop the character of perseverance, because I know that once that is in my life, I can face anything in life. I can still bring forth the glory of God. Is there someone like that that said, Pastor, pray for me that I will become the goal that God wants me to be through my trials? Is there someone like that? Amen. I see those hands. Amen. Many hands coming up. Pray up, pray down, pray in your hearts. Amen. Pray in your hearts. Say, God, I want to be that goal. Help me. Amen. I see the hand. Say, someone else, just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. God has His purpose. He has His plan. In terms of His time, we may not ever understand, but God leads us so that we can become the goal that He wants us to be. Is there someone else? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray for the believers that put up their hands. Oh, Heavenly Father, help them to realize you love them so much. And God, you are not going to allow them to go through something that is not useful for them. Father, whenever they go through a trial, they can understand it is useful for them. Help them, Lord, even though they may not understand fully the reason, but they can definitely give the reason, I know my God's in charge and He wants me to be like gold, usable, resilient, strong in Christ, dependent upon Him in all things, useful to repair the faith of other people, malleable, available, usable by God. Heavenly Father, I pray for these believers who have put up their hands. I pray that their faith will be drawn closer to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. That when Jesus went through the trying times of His life, when He was crucified on a cross, that they will reflect on that and realize, if Jesus made it through, so can I, because He's with me. Lord, I pray for these brethren, strengthen them with the power of your Holy Spirit, with the grace that they need in every trial. Perhaps they're going through a trial now that I don't know, and no one knows, only you and them. I pray that the book of James will become real in their lives as they consider their trial a joy, as they comprehend the purpose, and as they allow you to complete the course in their life. Father, I pray that you would help these brethren in 2, 3, 4 months, 6 months' time. They will be perfect. They will be mature. Or else, at least they are growing a little bit more. They are maturing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Father, in their lives, they will face trials with a hope and a confidence that when other non-believers look at them, they can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what men shall do to me. So Lord, thank you for the rest of us. Perhaps there are certain things in our lives that we are going through too. Only your Holy Spirit can tell. I pray that today's message would draw us closer to you, understanding that if we are Christians, we can expect to be tested. And when we are tested, we can expect to develop perseverance because that is your will. But help us, Lord, never to give in halfway, never to give up halfway, because we know our Heavenly Father loves us and He will take us through. Thank you. As we sing the closing hymn, Lord, may it encourage our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.